And I just forgot to put my mic on. What a intro song to come into this passage today. Woo! Spirit, lead me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, for the children, we released them to go to their classes this morning. And while they're doing that, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we give you thanks. As always, first and foremost for your son, Jesus. It's through him we have fellowship one with another as brothers and sisters. And Lord, we just ask that your spirit would fall on us in this place. Spirit, lead us today, Father. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to study your word. And as we study the Acts of the Apostles, Father, we just ask for a Holy Spirit understanding of what you would have us learn, and Father, not only that, but what we should do in response to it. So Lord, we just ask that you would bless us today with the knowledge and understanding that this servant would be able to adequately teach today, because I never learn so much as when I teach. And Father, you've poured a lot into me, and I just pray that whatever you have poured into me, those things that you want me to bring forth would be brought forth, and nothing more, nothing less. Lord, we also give you thanks that you've brought our brother Jeff back to us. We ask for blessings on him and his family, Lord, and we pray that the work that he did over in Romania and Bulgaria and those areas, that Father, that those seeds that were planted would be multiplied and grow, and your kingdom advanced. We thank you in Jesus' name. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we've been going through the book of Acts. Last week it was Nathanael's time up, and he taught about going to Samaria. And we saw him doing miraculous signs and wonders. And this all came after a very terrifying and horrible event with the stoning of Stephen, right? The believers were persecuted, and therefore they were scattered all over the place. And we saw Peter going to Samaria and doing miraculous signs and wondering, many people come to believe. Well, there Philip is, and he's in Samaria, and the work that he's doing there is being really, really successful, and things are going really, really good. And then God calls him out. He says, go do this. Could that ever happen? Should we ever get too comfortable where we're at? Watch this. If you got your Bibles with us today, and we're going to be reading and teaching from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. And you'd like to, if you would, stand with us and we read. Say amen when you're there. Amen. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So we see Philip doing miraculous signs and wonders in Samaria, and many people are coming to believe in Jesus there. Then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord spakes to him and say, go down on the desert road to Gaza. You know, leave what you're doing, this successful work that you're doing here, and you go and take this road, this desert road, from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, there was a couple of different main roads going to Gaza from Jerusalem. One of them was along another way that went through a lot of villages where there was a lot of population areas. And, you know, you would think that, okay, if you're going to be going as we go make disciples of all nations, you wouldn't want to go to where there would be people to make disciples of, right? But see, God had a divine appointment waiting for Philip along this desert road. We don't always understand, and we don't see the big picture. God's ways are not our ways, right? But God's ways have their purpose and their plans. God told Philip through an angel to go down this desert road for this divine encounter. And it says, in some translation, it says, behold, an Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in a chariot. Now, Ethiopians, like Samaritans, were not the highest class of citizenry to the Jewish mindset. They were descendants of the nation of Cush, right? The Cushites, they were an accursed people back in the Old Testament times. And eunuchs were not, in the Old Testament, were not really even, I suppose, they were outside of the realm of the ones that God would choose, because of their position. But God chose this eunuch in this time. And I don't know, eunuch can be a term of someone who's, they would put them in charge of females, and they were over the kings and queen, or the king's harems or queens and stuff, because they couldn't reproduce, right? They couldn't, they weren't active. Okay. I'll go a little more farther than there. But they was also put in charge a lot of times they were put in positions of trust. They were put in positions of trust. And this particular eunuch was put in a very specific position of trust, wasn't he not? He was over the whole treasury of the queen of Ethiopia by the name of, well, Candace is a common name like Pharaoh, all right? From what I can gather in the study that I did, her actual name may have been Judith. But she was the queen of a little island called Meroe. And this eunuch was in charge of her whole treasury. But he was also either a proselyte or native-born Jew in Ethiopia. From the, much like Simon of Cyrene, right? Who went to Jerusalem to observe the Passover, and on his way there, remember, I think I taught on that. He was on his way into Jerusalem as they were bringing Jesus out, beaten and broken, carrying his cross, and Simon of Cyrene was made to carry the cross of Jesus. And we see in Acts chapter 2, all those people from all the different countries that were there in Jerusalem after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. There were a lot of different places where they were named, right? They came from Cyrene. They came from Mesopotamia and all these different places. So there was Jewish influences and Jewish people throughout the world coming to observe the feast. And this eunuch, it says here in the, let me see, what verse is it? That he was on his way home. In verse 28, it says he was on his way home from having gone to Jerusalem to worship. And he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So we see him on this road, and Philip not knowing why he was being called away from the work in Samaria, but he's obedient. And that's the key that I want you to understand here, is obedience. We may not understand the whys, whens, whats, but God knows. So Philip trusted God. And he was obedient, and he sped off, and he went down this desert road where he found this eunuch. And lo and behold, he's coming down this road, not knowing what he was going to do, but he comes across this chariot, and the guy's sitting there reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah. And I bet in Philip's mind, he said, "Aha! Now I know why I'm here." So the Spirit, it says, the Spirit told him to go run up to that chariot, stay near it. So, and that's another thing that got me in this passage of Scripture that we're reading. We're going to see Luke record three different instances of God involved in this passage of Scripture. The angel of the Lord, the Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord. The angel speaks to him, the Spirit speaks to him, and then the Spirit of the Lord takes him a little on down the road, right? So the Spirit of God can manifest itself in many, many ways, and we're seeing this in this passage. But the Spirit of the Lord told Philip to go run up to that chariot and stay near it. Now, in those times, I would think that a lone man out in the middle of the nowhere in the desert, running up to a chariot with a lot of people probably guarding this guy because he was overseeing the treasury of the queen, right? So I'm thinking there's probably some soldiers and some other people. And this guy didn't get stabbed or speared or something for running up to this chariot unannounced. So I think the providence of God was with him there too. But he goes up to this chariot and he hears him speaking about the book of Isaiah, reading out loud. And I don't know about you, but when I was a younger man and I was just learning how to read, I had to hear myself say the words that I saw on the paper. And I'm wondering if this eunuch wasn't doing the same thing, that he was reading out loud so he might hear what he's reading and understand. But it was also by the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, that this divine encounter, that this happened as well, that Philip would hear what he's saying. And Philip, hearing this eunuch reading from the prophet Isaiah, the Septuagint, the Greek translation, because these are Hellenistic Jews, right? Philip was chosen out of the seven because of what? The conflict became between the Hebraic Jews and Hellenistic Jews, right? So it was something that Philip was familiar with, and also that gave him an opening. And Philip heard this eunuch reading out loud, and he ran up to the chariot and asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And here we have this eunuch, a man of high position, and you have Philip by himself out in the middle of nowhere, probably not dressed in the finest of linens. And that's another thing I want you to see here, that in the kingdom of God, position has no authority. The only authority is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? So we see Philip coming up to the man of high position, asking him if he's understanding what he's reading. And this man in this high position, in his humility, acknowledges his need. How can I, unless somebody explains it to me? I don't have all the answers, but I want to know about this man and who he's talking about. Is he talking about himself or someone else? Because, you know, that's what blessed my heart last week when Nathaniel was up here. And I've heard him say it many times. I don't have the answers, but I want to know. You know, so many things in the Scripture we don't have the answers to. And we won't know until we get to heaven. And all that mystery will be solved for us. Have you ever been like this Ethiopian eunuch? That you want desperately to know more about God. We study the Scriptures.
Always,
Max, that's right. He had a desire in his heart to have a closer walk with the Lord. And he's studying the Scriptures diligently to find answers that he don't have. And God places Philip in this position that he might know. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. And it says that when the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Well, what passage of Scripture was it? It was out of Isaiah 53. And it talks about Jesus taking on our iniquity, our sin. And he was pierced for our transgressions. And by his wounds we are healed. And he began to talk to this eunuch about who the prophet was talking about and how the Jesus coming and his suffering and his dying, that we might have right relationship with God. And I don't know how long he was in that chariot with that eunuch, but it must have been a little bit of time anyway. But Philip poured his heart out in the gospel and the good news of the gospel to this eunuch, and he saw immediately his desire and his need for Jesus in his life. So what's his response? As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Because I can just envision in my mind, I wasn't there and I didn't hear the conversation, but I can imagine that Philip talking to this eunuch about everything that had happened and Jesus being buried, crucified, dead, buried, and rose again, and that commission that Jesus had given his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he talked to him about the Holy Spirit coming on these men and how they were a part of this thing that was bigger than themselves, and how they had been persecuted and scattered, but they were taking the message of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, Jerusalem, Judah, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth, right? And that's what was going on. He probably told them about Peter boldly getting up and speaking to those in attendance in Jerusalem. And when they were cut to the heart and asking, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus." That he immediately saw his need to be baptized. And he says, "Look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" So many times we won't put it off. Well, we'll do it at a later date. Why shouldn't we baptize? So they went down into the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch. And when they came up out of that water, it says here, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. Boom. The third manifestation of the Spirit in this passage of Scripture. The one that took Philip away. Suddenly it says, boom, he's gone. Now, can you imagine if you were that eunuch in the water, just coming up out of the water, and all of a sudden the guy that baptized you is no longer there? But it didn't. Luke's passage didn't seem to really, it didn't really concern the eunuch too much, did it? Because it says he went away rejoicing. He went away rejoicing because he had sought and he found. He had asked and he had received. And the Holy Spirit came on him, and he was baptized in water and spirit. And he was a new creation when he came out of that water, wasn't he? So he went away rejoicing. But that empowerment of the Holy Spirit didn't stop there. Luke doesn't record this guy's name, this eunuch's name, because I think it was such a quick encounter that Philip didn't even know. But it had a huge impact on the kingdom of God. That one encounter along that road, that divine appointment, changed the lives of many. And as I was studying this scripture, I began to want to know more about this Ethiopian eunuch and what all this, why it was important that it was in the book of Acts. Well, first of all, it was a prophecy fulfilled. If they ever got to the little further along in Isaiah chapter 56, verses 3-7, it says this: Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not my eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree, for this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, and to all who obey his Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, to these I will bring my holy mountains and give them joy in my house of prayer. No wonder he went away with joy, rejoicing. He asked and he received. He seeked and he found. He knocked and the door was opened to him. So this chance encounter along the road, we see that Philip, he appeared in a couple of towns outside of, from where they were at. Let's see here. I thought I had it wrote down. It says, Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Said, God called Philip out of the successful ministry he was in at Samaria to have an encounter with a solitary man on a desert road. But is that what really all that surprising? Jesus said he would leave the 99, did he not? And go to that one. The one lost. The one is important to God. You're that one. Each and every one of us, God has a plan and a purpose for us. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if we would seek him, we will find him when we seek him with all of our heart. And he has invited us into this ministry and given us a mission. Each and every one of us, that new commission that wasn't just a suggestion, it was a command, wasn't it? Go and make disciples. As you go, as Jeff says so eloquently, as you go, make disciples. So we see Philip going and he made a disciple, but that disciple had a huge impact because not only of where he was at, but his position in the geography of where he was located. And I was studying to find out a little bit more about him. And here's what I come across. Historical records from an ambassador to the king of the Ethiopians by the name of Zaga Zabo named a eunuch of Candace over the treasury, Indic. And here's what he said in his testimony. This is from Zaga Zabo. We almost before all other Christians received the baptism from the eunuch of Candace, queen of Ethiopia, whose name was Indic, who had charge of all of her treasure. And later traditions even state that Candace herself was baptized by the eunuch Indic. So he went away rejoicing, but that didn't stop there. He went and told everybody about Jesus Christ and what Jesus had done for him. He preached throughout Ethiopia. Many believers came to know Jesus because of Philip's obedience to go to that desert road. When Philip and that Ethiopian came out of that water, that Holy Spirit went with that Ethiopian, and he preached the good news to everybody that would hear. And many people became Christians because of it, according to this testimony of an ambassador to the king of Ethiopia. It wasn't just for the people in low position now. It was for everybody. God has no respecter of position, does he? He goes to the lowest of the low and to the highest of the high, even to the kings and the queens of foreign lands. Because one guy was obedient. One guy said, okay, Lord, I'll go. Can you imagine if you were the one guy that witnessed to Bobby or Billy Graham when he was a new convert? See, we don't know the impact our story has on people's life. But each and every one of us has one. And each and every one of us has been given a mission, a commission to make disciples. Your story is very important to the kingdom. Don't ever discount that you don't count, because you do. You do. You may be the only messenger that somebody receives to tell them about Jesus, that they might make that choice to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. Never, never, ever discount that. We don't know, do we? That man we might pass on the street in our travels, that Holy Spirit unction tells us, maybe we need to just sit down here and talk to him a little bit, that we might tell him about Jesus. You ever have that? You ever have the Holy Spirit just lay somebody on your heart? Well, I challenge you, the next time you feel that pull to speak to somebody about Jesus, do it. Amen. Just do it. Woo! Because we don't know what God wants to do with that. But he may make it grow until a whole nation is converted to Jesus. You say, well, I don't have that power. No, you don't, but Jesus does. The Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit is in you is greater than anything that is in this world. Amen. So we see obedience. We see a command that doesn't really make sense. Make disciples of a whole nation. And we see the power of the Holy Spirit in one person to change a lot of people's lives. From what I can gather from the historical record, this bold eunuch in the court of Candace who preached the gospel to his peers and in his nation, he paid the final price. He's a martyr for Christ. He was killed. But not before he fulfilled God's purposes in his own generation, and many people come to believe. And the gospel is now being spread further and further and further, just like Jesus designed in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judah, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The gospel message is spreading further and further and further. And through this passage of Scripture, we're seeing that God has no respecter of persons, he's no respecter of nationalities. He is the God of the universe. He is the God of gods. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. No favorites. So anytime you think that you don't matter, you're not a pastor, you're not a deacon, you're not you are a believer, and you have the Holy Spirit in you. So pay very close attention and be sensitive to His calling. Can I pray for y'all? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come before you, and I pray that this message and this teaching today would inspire us and put us in a place of wanting to do more for you, to wanting to know you better. Because if we truly, desperately want you with all of our heart, like it says in Jeremiah 11 or 29, 12, 13, then we will seek you and we'll find you if we seek you with all of our heart. So, Father, I pray that we would be diligent seekers of you. And, Lord, that we would find you, and we know that we will. But, Father, I pray that we would also be diligent seekers of those who are seeking you, that we would have our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our mind open to be able to be your witnesses wherever we're at, that people might come to know you, and through those that believe, even more would come to know you. We are a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And anytime we doubt our abilities, we understand the Holy Spirit's abilities are far greater than anything we can ask or imagine. So, Father, I pray that you would empower us as your people with boldness, with courage, and with a heart to see those that don't know Jesus be saved. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. I just pray that this message would just burn in their hearts, that tomorrow may be too late to tell somebody about Jesus. Father, as we think about you and your sacrifice, that you so loved us that you gave Jesus to die for our sins. And here in a minute are going to remember that sacrifice as we take Holy Communion. So, Father, I pray that bread that represents his body and that juice that represents his blood will empower us anew and strengthen us for your kingdom's work in our own city, in our own town, in our own place of work, wherever we might be. That, Father, we would never forget the love that you showed us through your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that through us, your kingdom would grow and you would be glorified. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.